Good morning. Oh, suddenly so many of you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for being God of our city, being God of this world, so that we can trust on you. And the Spirit will move our hearts. May it and also drive us into action so that we can really serve you wholeheartedly and with the Spirit moving among us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to show you a person that I met a few last week. Have you met this person? She was in Mong Kok. I think she probably she's still in Hong Kong or is leaving in a week's time. Her name was Julia, and when I walked across the Mong Kok Road, I saw a lady dressed like a Muslim. And I thought she was Muslim, but suddenly she held up something. When someone is walking across the street, she showed the sign to the people, and then on that side, and then she show it on that side. So I stood there for a while and see, oh, what's that about? And I saw, oh, some words that I know, but the Chinese is quite strange. And then I tried to stand a bit far from her and trying to get to know what's all about. After about 10 minutes, and they started to talk to some people, I heard it's in some kind of English, but not very clear. And as she talked to, after 10 or 15 minutes, only one person stood there to talk to her, and I probably that person asked her for money or something, and it's not really listening. But I tried to talk to her, and I said, I'm also a Christian, and where are you from? And she said she's from Bergen. It's a coincidence that my one of my nephews live in Bergen, and she's also doing some gospel work there. So she said, oh, probably she had known me for some time, because I always stood in Bergen holding a much bigger sign there, and this one I make it for Hong Kong, this trip for Hong Kong. And I said, who's helping you with that? And she said, I just Googled and tried to write the Chinese out. So I said to myself that that's why it's so illegible. And next time I said, when you go back to Bergen, my nephew will be of help. She's very good in Chinese. So, and she told me the story that when she's in Norway, she always tried to make the most out of her work. Maybe in 1 year she works for like 4 months, 5 months, and the rest of the time she preaches the gospel in the streets and somewhere else. And the way that she's saving her money is that she lives in the woods, and she put up tents, and she just stayed there. And then say, oh, I save money so that this time I can come to Hong Kong. And because the Spirit told me that I should go to China, and I say, oh, probably Hong Kong is the best place in China that you can do that. And then next time, I'll ask her to do something else so that I can take her to deeper into China. And it's very special, someone like her, to receive the Spirit, the call to come to Hong Kong just to show a sign to people. She stayed in Hong Kong like for 3 months and stayed with a church, a local church in Hong Kong, in the New Territories. And then she would love to do that and to talk to people, to learn some about Hong Kong culture and the people around here. So I don't know. We have a very familiar passage. So shall we read together? The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." In this passage, I just make some important words in red so that we can go through it easily. Just went through all the towns and villages. Praise the Lord that in the past 11 years, I've been able to go to many provinces in China to see so many lives, and to, especially with Medicare, we can give them some medical care and to help the people in a very concrete way. And we can see really different walks of life in big cities like Wuhan, Chengdu. We see rich people, but very empty in their hearts. We see very poor people like in Liangshan, or in some places, minority regions, where like a kid of 12, 13 years old, they never wear a pair of shoes. And so many different types of people. But the most important thing is, can we really follow Jesus' footsteps into the places that we can go? Like in Hong Kong or Discovery Bay. Thank God that I've been able to preach here, to talk to you, to get to know this community that most Hong Kong people may not be able to come to understand this community. The need is here. There are so many needs, even in Discovery Bay or in Tuen Mun or in Shenzhen, where I live. We see people are very weary, especially in this time of Hong Kong when we are waiting for the new chief executive. I don't know if we have hope of something new or we have CY 2.0, version 2, there's something like that. But still, can we find the golden thread of the gospel, of the thing that people really need in their lives? So in the Gospel of Matthew, today we chose the chapter 9, 35 to 38, not 58. And because it's in the middle of the book, from chapter 1 to 9, Matthew talking about the kingship, the Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah, and also the teaching about the parable of the kingdoms and the things. And then from chapter 10 to chapter 28, discipleship making, kingdom ministry, and the Great Commission. So in the middle, chapter 9, 35 to 38, talked about Jesus' way of incarnational living among the people, and how he feels, how he does things, how he saw the people, and all these. So it's in other gospel chapters like Luke 10:2 or John 4:35, a similar things, talking about the harvest, there are plenty, but workers are few. So this perennial recall appeal from our Lord that from the 2,000 years, that's still the case in the world, but we are getting closer and closer to the end times. The clock is ticking. What shall we do to really make this happen, that the harvest is there? We're always saying that, oh, there are lots of things waiting for us, but where are they? Who are they? And how can we feel the way that Jesus felt? Like I said, the harvest is plentiful. Is Jesus used it so many times. So it's a kind of concept that is so important. Like the John chapter 4:35, he's after speaking with the Samaritan woman, the well, he told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Now it's also like in Hong Kong, in China, especially in Hong Kong, you can see there are so many opportunities for us, like the helpers from Indonesia and from many places, where in their hometown, they may not be able to hear the gospel. And in Hong Kong, now there are... do you know how many Mandarin speakers are there? Native Mandarin speakers now in Hong Kong, out of the 7 million people in Hong Kong. Do you know how many? Can you guess? 200,000? Half a million? At least?
First language.
Mandarin, yes.
Tell us.
Yeah. Over 1 million now. So you can see they are the doorstep. We can have, but there are only a handful of churches offering Mandarin service. So that's a really a clarion call for more Mandarin services in Hong Kong. But before that, we need a lot of evangelism, a lot of care to minister to the lives of the people, the Mandarin-speaking people in Hong Kong. Many of them students, but still more of them are immigrants, because every day we have 150 coming over to Hong Kong to live permanently. So also, he repeated again and sent out the 70 for ministry, Luke 10:2. The harvest waiting to be reaped. The harvest doesn't depend on our techniques, but on God's sovereign purpose. Plant a harvest and cause us to get involved as reapers. So how can we do that? And how can we have the urgency of doing that? And how can we be involved? We can look at Jesus' ministry model. And verse 35 is very clear. The teaching in the synagogue, just like now. So we have a church, we have a people, we have the disciples. So it's a kind of like discipleship making, pastoring work that Jesus has been doing. And the second one, proclaiming the good news, is evangelism. So to let the people hear the gospel, at least get to know them and let them know that you're a Christian. And then one day they will know the Lord through your love, your care, them. And the third one is healing. So healing the sick and all the diseases. And just like what we are talking about is the social services. So that's why the church normally have these three functions. The teaching, prayer, pastoring and all that, evangelism, and then social services, and to cater for the people's lives, the physical life, and the emotional life, and spiritual life. So this is a Jesus ministry model that we can follow. Spurgeon, the Baptist minister, very famous one in the 19th century, he said that verse 38 weighed on his heart more than any other text in the Bible. He said it haunted him perpetually. I do pray that this simple message will haunt us also. We need to see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt, so that we will do as Jesus did. It's important to see things in Jesus' eyes, how he saw it, how he felt it, how he did it. So we know the method. Now we have churches. We follow Jesus' model to have churches. We have very good pastoring, care. Especially, I was so touched that Lucas, Michelle, talk about the past 3.5 years here, receiving lots of love from the community. This is what a church really is. It's about love. It's about, just like Pastor James said, it's about people. It's so important that we care about each other. It's through church that God really shows his love. Church is the location that we can really perform that kind of discipleship, that kind of love that we receive from God. It's really good that if we can do it in a workplace, in other places, but nowhere is close to the church where we can really live together in love. So, in church, we can really talk about, think about, pray about how to see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt, so that we will do as Jesus did. So how shall we follow Jesus in this passage? What we can see? The great need of lost people. How do you see these people as lost people? Why they are lost? Now sometimes the new type of evangelism, sometimes we say friendship evangelism, what kind of evangelism? Sometimes we forget about the true meaning of the gospel is to save the people. It's not just a kind of friendship. It's not just a kind of, oh, I'm good to you, so you don't cry. We need the true gospel that let them know that they are lost. They need the Lord. It's so important. And also a great harvest of lost people. A lot of people outside, just like in this community. I don't know how many people are still lost in this community. Still, a lot of work has to be done so that the people will know that they need our Lord. And great need for workers for the harvest. And perhaps we think that, oh, it's not easy to talk to people or family members about Jesus. Sometimes it's hard because they know how we behave, they know how we act sometimes, or they know that, oh, you are not that good. But we know that it's not because of us, but because of the Lord. He is always good. Try to challenge the people around us that you really need Jesus. I can't really tell you, but I can tell you that without Jesus, our lives will die. No way that we can live without Jesus. So something that we can really share with people. People may be too keen on techniques or things, but how can we really preach the gospel to people? Maybe day in, day out, you see them, but without talking to them about Jesus, then what a waste of our time. So see what Jesus saw, the great need of the lost people, great harvest waiting for us, great need for workers. We are all workers, not only potential workers, but we are indeed the workers that God has chosen. The second thing is the few will have genuine compassion. We go back to the passage. We'll read the 36. We read together. When he saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I remember someone shared with me about a test they've been done to some seminarians. One day, a professor of a theological seminary asked the students to do a kind of survey to share about their faith, and then ask the people to respond and to do a survey about that. And those students, very frightened, because they asked them to do something like near IFS or something like that. And they said, do IFS suddenly talk to people during lunchtime and say that, I'm a Christian, and talk about my my background and things, and then to do a survey after that. So it's a kind of design. It's not the real purpose of it. And then the professor has already asked someone on their way to the place, to the financial center, does someone pretend to be sick and wrote down on the on the road and then just stop them from going to the financial center? Finally, it has found that over 50% of the people will ignore those sick people. And it went straight for, I need to give the testimony. I'm so tense and all that. So I don't want anything to stop me from doing this task. So at last, the professor said, some of you are doing a project on the Good Samaritans for your honors project, for your dissertation, and still you act like the Pharisees. So they have really great reflection on that. So perhaps if I was given such a task, perhaps I would have done the same, perhaps. Because I said, so difficult. I have so important thing to do. Maybe I come back later, perhaps like this. So sometimes we think, what is our purpose? Do we have the real kind of compassion for the people in need? Or sometimes, especially in mainland China, the teachers will tell you, even the church, the pastors will tell you, don't try to pick up a person if he fell down, because maybe the family members will sue you because you are the one who hit him on the ground. So no, someone will pretend to be like that, and if you touch him, the family members will come to sue you. And so that's what happened in mainland China. So people tend to say they tend to be very cold, because they think that you won't trust anybody. So in this world, so weird, how can we have a heart of compassion if we want to follow Jesus? So in Greek, the word compassion is like, it's inside feeling, like the gut, the gut feeling. You're really from inside, you really want to help them, you have a great feeling on these people. How can we Christians living in the 21st century in Hong Kong and after the occupying central movement and like those people, especially those who work in China, how can they cultivate the compassion? So we really need to rethink and to pray that Jesus' compassion will be in us. And then the third one, do. Jesus ministered to people's needs, and he prayed for more workers. It's indeed the verse 38 that Spurgeon talked about. It's so important. We really need to pray that we can see as Jesus saw and feel as Jesus felt, so that we will do as Jesus did. I want to summarize this a bit. Jesus going around, fostering new contacts, that's the way Jesus go to every town and village. We have the opportunity now, there are so many pilots here, you can fly everywhere, new flight to Tel Aviv, and I think it's a good thing I heard from someone from you. And ministering, serving others. We have new contacts. We have different ministries. We can serve others. But the important thing is, do we have the compassionate heart to really see the needs of others? Do we still have that sight? And then, do we keen on praying that, asking God to send workers, asking God to give us the compassion that we need to help others? There's one place I want to introduce. This hometown of Sarah, Tianmen, Hubei province. Can you see it very beautiful? This is we call the Sihu, just like the Hangzhou Sihu, the name is the same, the West Lake Sihu. On the backdrop, you can see the church, the red church. Is it beautiful? About 7-8 years ago, I went there. Can you see me? And I was there. And this the original site. 7 years ago, there was no West Lake. And there's no road round the corner of the church. But the government developed that place and make it very beautiful, a backdrop of the West Lake, to make the church a kind of symbolic thing in the city. This city is 1.7 million people. So we help them, the E-Free Church, three churches gave an offering and so that they can build the church. And also through the help of Dave and some other people, we also built an old folks home for the elderly in the area so that they can have the three things that Jesus did. The service, they have evangelism, and they have social service there. You can see the church. It can house like 600 people. I really do hope that one day DBICC will have a church like this. In pray for that. And this one is the elderly center, and with a small seminary there also. Really want you to pray for this place, because this 1.7 million people, there are only a few hundred of Christians. Really need your prayer, this place. Thank God that you can see familiar faces. Also the baby there. And I want to introduce, not Dave, not Sarah, but I want to introduce this person, Brother Zhang. You know, he's originally he's from the Tianmen Church. But for the love of God, and for the expansion of God's kingdom, he's willing to serve as missionary to a place like 1.5 hours, 2 hours from Tianmen. And he started a church, Hushi Town Church. Hushi is a town, Hushi is a town of 40,000 people. And you know, nowadays in the towns in China, most young people, they tend to go out to work, like in Guangzhou, in Shenzhen, Shanghai, Hangzhou. And so many young people are away. And the problem there would be left behind kids, left behind old people. So they live a very lonely life. And also, why Hushi? Do you think this is the only church there that we helped open? Not at all. There are three churches, including this one, in this small town. Why? Because one church is a heresy. It's a sect that they've been preaching there for quite some time. Another one is a house church that they think that the open churches cannot save people. Cannot you go to the open churches, you won't know the Savior. So because of that, Brother Zhang thinks that there's a must to have a real church, to have a church full of love, accepting people from all around. And also another reason is that in that area, in Hushi, is within a walking distance to another city, Hanchuan. And the other city was full of what we call San Shu Jidu. It's a kind of sect that is permeating throughout China. There are more sects than normal Christians. I think would be like tenfold, 10 times more than normal Christians in Hushi and people around. So there's a great need for us to send a missionary there. Thank God that Brother Zhang, who is now in his early 60s, willing to serve there. So we often talk to him and saying that it's really difficult to start a church in those places, because you are not just preach a gospel to someone who don't know Jesus and have no background of it, but he's preaching to those who are against the real gospel. And also there's the government is really looking for some places that they can really clamp down on some of these sects or churches. So it's very clever of him to say that there's a Tianmen Three Self Christian Church. It's official, although it's not officially registered, but still the government knows that he's from the open church. So now there are like 19 people. August, they started the church last August, and now there are 19 people. But five of them went out for work because the young people, and then now normally they have like 10 people attending church service. And Brother Zhang, he said he's not going to expand it really fast, because the quality, discipleship making, is the most important. He really wants the first congregation to be disciples, and the first few people there can really serve the community and to start home services or to start other fellowships when they are developing. So this one is a Hushi Church that I really want to introduce to you. And I think DBICC would be very much welcome if you to pray for them, especially pray for Brother Zhang. There are two prayer items that he told me yesterday. One is that there's a sister who suffered from very serious depression, and he always felt so painful in her head and also in her body, and need some kind of consultation and also need some kind of counseling. I think in China, for depression, is the most difficult because people just tell you what to do. Oh, don't worry. There's no need. Be happy. And then that's the way that they counsel people. So that's I think that's the worst of all types of things that to have a depression in China. And so pray for that sister. And the second thing is the, they are looking for a place that to because they just rent this place and they want a new place for expansion and for longer term. And now they it's still this place is still good to use, but for long term they really want a place so that they can apply for the registration, easier registration, and also pray for all the conflicts coming from the other so-called churches and from the sects and the heresies. So pray for the brothers and sisters who are there. It's not easy for the first genuine church there. It's not easy to build such a congregation. Pray for the people who are away working. Also, the second thing, I think some of you may recognize this place, the Gospel Road Church. Please also pray for them as the already 3 years there. I hope this year we will have another edition of the summer camp. Last year, the kids are so happy. And pray that this year we will have an even better summer camp. I think now we know that it's the time to harvest. But do we see the harvest? There's an urgency about harvesting. Do I make this a priority in my life? So please pray that we can be a part of this these ministries so that we can do what Jesus did in his life. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Husha. Okay. Thank you, Gary, for sharing. And so very practical ways to get involved, Chengdu and Husha project. And some of us are going to go visit that place. And I think David Leung's already met Brother John. And the word we often use, Gary, is called cults. And so this is cultic activity that's going on in the area. And you have 40,000 people. That's twice as big as DB. Mm. But aren't you grateful that our Anglican friends, our Catholic friends, Calvary Church, and JIL, Next Door Neighbors, they're not cults. They're not preaching a gospel that's not a gospel. But we have our distinctives that make us different. But we preach Christ. But to go and somebody preach something else, in that kind of an area. And we're thankful for Brother John, who I think he's a little younger than me, but this is where he's going to spend his retirement, is trying to plant churches in these tough villages. And let's pray for him, and then we'll sing, okay? Father, I just want to thank you for Gary reminding us again to see and to feel and to do like Jesus. And, Samin and I were talking about it this week. We do want to be wholly set aside for you, Lord. And that only means being more like you. And we can't do it without Holy Spirit. And so pray, continue to do your work in us as individuals and as a church. Thank you for Gary and the brothers and sisters he works with here and across the border. And I thank you, Father, for your goodness to Brother Zhang, to help him plant the church there and Husi, I think I'm saying that right. But anyway, Lord, bless that man. Take care of this lady with depression. Come inside to her life and heal, Lord, as you did. And when you had compassion now, you know how to set up her needs and how to take care of her. Our sister in Christ, we pray for her. So thank you. Now we sing to you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.